time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 11th of February 2012. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday the 11th of February, Jan Scott talked to Helen L. Scott about herbal workshops being offered through Waiheke Community Education. She spoke to artist Alan Baker, Lynn Humphrey, the president of Rotary, about Onitangi Beach Races, and Anna Brown from the Waiheke Youth Initiative about the Waiheke Family Dinner Project.
And good morning and welcome to Island Life. I'm Jan Scott. I'm your host for the next 2 hours. And we've got a pretty full program this morning, so we're going to kick off straight into it and welcome, say hi to Helen L. Scott, who's here to talk to us about community education and herbal workshops that she's running during that time. Yes. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Jan, and good morning to all the listeners on a grey kind of day on Waiheke. But thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, how did you get involved with the community education program?
Well, I spoke to Fiona last year about possibly running some of the courses that I do through my clinic. I'm a medical herbalist and a naturopath, so there seems to be a great deal of interest in people wanting to know how to use the herbs in their back gardens and how to maintain good health by themselves or what they can do for their family. So, we're starting a six-week course at the Community Education Centre, which is linked to the high school, and that's starting on the 21st of February in the Tuesday evening, 6:30 to 8:30. But it's basically information on what you can use to keep good health for your family.
And what you can find in your own backyard.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of people that have herbs growing that they don't know what they are, they don't know how to use them, they don't know what part of the plant to use. So it's basically giving them information on how they can keep their immune system healthy, how they can keep their digestive system healthy. And instead of having to go to the pharmacy or a practitioner like myself or their supermarket to buy the ingredients, they can grow them. They're probably growing in their backyard at the moment. So what I try and do is just educate people on how to use them, how to make a tea or a digestive tonic or a syrup that can help their families.
Does this also include other plants in the garden, things that might be growing wild or...
Yes, definitely. What the community education course will culminate in is a weed walk. So I'm doing a lot of weed walks around the island and identifying plants that are growing that we either see commonly as weeds or traditional plants that grow here, like kawakawa, how to use those. And just identifying the plants and knowing how to use them is really important.
Mm, absolutely. Mm. Can you give us an example of a plant that we often see on the side of the road and don't realise it's worth...
Yes. Well, if you were to mow your lawn, you'd be getting rid of A, weeds, but B, medicinal herbs as well. So plantain is something that we know of here. Its other common name is ribwort. And I use it extensively for allergies, so eczema, asthma, sinusitis specifically. So you can actually gather those herbs or the leaves of the ribwort and make a tea out of them and dry them and keep them as your medicinal cupboard. Dandelion leaves are really high in vitamin A, so good for skin conditions as well. Comfrey is a very old plant that people think not used for very much, good for skin conditions as well.
Yes, I remember I had very bad asthma as a child and I remember having to eat comfrey raw. It was ghastly.
Oh, no, it is. You've got to get the very small leaves.
Yes, it put me off for life. I might have to try it again now.
Yes.
But you could make a salad with just throw some small comfrey leaves in it.
The leaves are quite prickly, so yeah, the very small leaves. If you want to take comfrey any further, the root contains constituents that really help. It's the old name for comfrey is nip bone, so helping with broken bones.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So all of the old wives' tales that come along with herbal medicine and plants and weeds always refer back to what they use.
Right, and I guess there'd be a lot of our native plants that would be have good medicinal purposes.
Definitely, and the major one that you can find anywhere is kawakawa. It's a heart-shaped leaf. It does produce a berry, but it's that holy leaf as well, so insects really attracted to it. And that's a perfect digestive tonic. So you can take that as a tea. It's good for toothache. And, yeah, there's everything around us is here for a purpose.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, what sort of herbal... what sort of practice do you do in your daily life with herbal
Well, remedies? I run Herbal Health Waiheke here on the island. So our clinic is in Oniroa next to the eyesight, and I share that with a chiropractor and a physiotherapist. So there's an integrative health clinic there. I'm trained as a medical herbalist, and that was going back a number of years ago now. So I see clients at my clinic. And I do health consultations and then use herbal medicine to help either support someone while they're on pharmaceutical medication as well or support their immune system. And there's a range of clients that I see.
Right. Mm. And, of course, you're about to start a workshop through the community education program.
Yes, that's right.
And when does that start?
That's on the 21st of February, which is a Tuesday evening. So each Tuesday evening will go for 6 weeks, 6:30 to 8:30. And at the end of that, on the 31st of March, it'll culminate in our weed walk and herbal workshop, which... we'll walk around the community education area and identify weeds and herbs, and we'll also collect some herbs or wildcraft them, and we'll use those to make up a digestive tonic, a herbal syrup, a herbal cream and a facial serum. So the participants will... It's a very practical day and they get to take home the four products that they make as well, but also the recipes and how to do that.
Right. Mm. Is there a cost for this?
There is. You'd have to contact Fiona at the community education. So I think it's on the website waihikicomed.co.nz, and they can get all the information there.
Right. And, of course, there are other courses that are going on as well that the community education program is running on a variety of things.
Yeah, it looks interesting this year, definitely this term one. So they do need numbers for the courses to go ahead. So I just let everyone know that they need to just give Fiona a call on Monday and make sure that they don't miss out.
That's right. And the website again?
I think it's waihikicomed, which is comed.co.nz. If I've made a mistake there, you'll be directed through to it.
Okay, so that would give you the information on all of the programs that are running in the community education program, which starts next week.
Yes.
And Helen's herbal workshop sounds really interesting and very instructive. It could be set you down a whole new path for health.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just learning what you can do for your own health. It will save you money if you don't need to go to the GP for simple things like colds and flus. And you can also find out more about Herbal Health Waiheke at herbalhealthwaiheke.co.nz.
Right. Thank you very much, Helen.
Thanks for having me, Jan. Yeah.
Good luck with your workshop.
Thank you.
Okay. We encourage people to get out there and go to the workshops that are being run by the Community Education Program.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
We are going to have a wonderful conversation with a very talented and interesting man, Alan Baker. Now, a few of you who've been around for a while will remember Alan from the early 90s when he first came here and he had his... ceramic studio and the old artworks, and then he went down the road by the BNZ and opened up his shop there with a sign out that said, "Get your pot here." That was great, wasn't it, Alan?
Them was the days.
They were indeed, yes. So basically you are a potter by trade, aren't you? Or is that,
I was a potter by hobby before I became a potter by profession.
Right. Yeah. Ah, well, that's good that you ended up getting paid for doing what you enjoyed doing.
It was, yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was paid. I managed to get by.
Well, yes, I guess most people in that situation don't make a lot of money, do they?
One would have thought the biggest pot seller on the island should have been a much wealthier person by the end of 10 years.
Yes, because you did leave the island after a while, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. And you went up to Kerikeri, was it?
I went to Kerikeri.
Right. And now you're back.
I am.
Right. And driving a bus.
And the tour bus. Oh. It's a mobile stage, Jan.
It would be, yes. It would be. Now, you're obviously enjoying it.
Very much.
And, of course, you would have seen a lot of changes in the island from the two stints you've had here.
From being 6 years away and coming back? Yes, yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. So what struck you most when you got back here?
The trees are bigger.
Ah.
The trees are bigger.
And the views got less.
Exactly, and you have to get resource consent to chop a manuka tree down now, which may be questionable, really, because some of those manuka trees would benefit from a bit of a trim, I think.
They probably would. Well, I think, from my understanding of manuka, they act as an umbrella for other trees to grow, and once those other trees grow on, they sort of die off, but by that stage they're replaced by something even bigger.
You know more about them than me. I use them to smoke fish.
I was wondering what you were going to say then.
And drink tea.
Oh, right, okay. Well, they do. It's wonderful for smoking fish, that's for sure. And it's probably one of the trees that Helen will be talking about in her herbal workshop. So why did you come back to the island?
You can't fall out of love with Waiheke. It's one of the difficulties. When I was away, I never visited the island. I was too frightened to. I thought if I came, I wouldn't be able to leave again. But my elderly father passed away. My mother's in Auckland. My stepmother's in Auckland, and she's alone. We needed to inject some more money into Magnolia House in Kerikeri, so a 40-hour week was a better option. I'd promised I'd come back every year for the 6 years I was away, over winter and earn some money on the island. And the pull, of course, you try to hide it and escape from it, but it's just very powerful. And so I was allowed to, and I did.
That's great.
I came back originally for a year. I've been here two now.
Right. Yes, because you've still got the guest house in Kerikeri, haven't you?
Magnolia House, yes.
Right, and it's got a little vineyard with it?
It has.
Right.
Table grapes, organic table grapes.
Oh, okay. Right. And it's a B&B, is it? We may as well give it a plug while you're here.
I may as well give it a plug while I'm here. Yeah, it's a small B&B.
Right.
Excuse me. Small B&B. We have two cabins that accommodate four people each. We call them the bunkhouses. And cabin A, but not cabin A Sauvignon, just cabin A and cabin B. And cabin C is a self-contained small unit for a couple. And that's very good. It works well.
Is it far out of town?
500 metres on the left before you hit the roundabout to Kerikeri on the main highway.
Oh, okay, so it's nice and handy.
Very handy. 70,000 cars pass the gate a day.
Wow.
Yeah, which makes it a productive little business.
It does, yeah, it would. And do you provide meals?
Yes, for people on request, but breakfast usually, yeah.
Right, because from my memory, your partner is a very good cook, isn't she?
Cedar's the best cook in Kerikeri.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not biased, of course.
Of course not. No. So if anybody is interested in going up north and would like to stay in a nice little B&B while they're up there, they should give Cedar a ring on what number? Can you remember it off the top of your head?
091-7944.
Right, and that's for... what's the name
Magnolia
of the house? Magnolia Cottage. Magnolia House. Does that assume you've got a big magnolia tree there?
A number of magnolia trees, about 11.
Oh, right.
About four or five different varieties.
Quite a big section, is it?
Mm. Yeah. We had one of the things I will say, we have 5 acres, point something hectares. One of the things I will say, though, is that since we've been away, the number of people visiting from Waiheke has been phenomenal. It's great. The very first new year we were there, the graduation school kids came to the north to celebrate their graduation. They were late arriving at their campsite. They knocked on my door at 11 o'clock in the evening. It was pouring with rain, and they wanted to know if we had accommodation for them. Uh-huh. I put up the whole of the seventh form, I think, the first year.
Oh, that's great.
It was great.
Yeah.
I wrote a letter back to the Gulf News complimenting them on their politeness, their hospitality, and et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. Now, when you came back after a six-year break, did you also notice a difference in the mix of people on the island?
There's a more diverse cultural mix than there was when I left. I notice now we have a cluster of Argentinian people doing the summer holiday work, which is interesting. A number of Indian people working very hard at the supermarket, keeping the place going, and morning till night and night till morning. More Middle Eastern people on the island than there were. So these extra cultural groups, I'm sure, are making for a more diverse and more interesting Waiheke.
Absolutely. Well, of course, usually when people talk about the different mix of on the island, now the issue of money comes into it, and the wealthy, and how many of those have made a change to the way the island is. Do you agree with that?
I see that the wealthy who live here make a great contribution to island life. Great contribution. You just think of like John Hawkesby's contribution, etc., etc. The people that are residential here are doing wonderful things. I probably have an edge in my voice when I'm doing the tours about the people who own property here but don't contribute to the community. They're waiting for their capital gains, or they're speculating, but they do rent them out. But someone commented the other day that I had an edge in my voice about these properties, or a little bit of sarcasm, and that's probably true.
Yes, I guess you can get a bit cynical about that. But then, you know, I think, as you say, the people who live here make a terrific contribution. And a lot of them are commuting to work and bringing the money back and spending it at the supermarket or wherever, at the various restaurants and things. So it does keep the economy bubbling along.
Yes.
What about the tourism business on the island? The one thing that really is lacking here, I suppose, is a hotel, for want of a better word, a top-quality hotel. And in some ways, I guess we need it, but where would it go, and what impact would that have? Have you got any thoughts on that?
Yes, tourism is one of those things I work in, and I try and keep polished about what's happening on Waiheke for the benefit of the visitors that come to the island. I always point out we're fortunate not to have any high-rise developments on the waterfront, and I point out also that the reason for that is our sewage system. We're all on septic tanks. If you have an accident on the waterfront on a big high-rise, high-density accommodation unit, and that accident spills into the sea, you'll ruin our heritage, our raison d'etre. Mm. Our beaches is why people come to the island and have been coming for 100 years. A hotel complex will be a good thing and will come, but I'm sure it'll be inland. It won't be coastal.
Mm.
Not until such time as we get a reticulated sewage system.
Heaven
forbid. There'll be great battles then between the progressives and the conservatives, the traditionalists, when that happens. And I think it'll be inevitable one day.
I suppose it will.
But let's say 5 generations from now.
Well, yes, hopefully not in my lifetime.
It won't.
Although, having said that, I'm not anti-progress, but I don't want to see the island progress to the point where it loses the specialness of why we're here and why people come here. What's the point in just being another tourist place? You know, people come here because it is a little bit quirky and it doesn't have reticulated sewage, and it is somewhere special. So the moment you start going down the track of reticulation and high-rise buildings and things, you're just like any other tourist resort.
Having been on the island quite a long time, and having learnt the importance of looking after your water tank and not running it out, I'm aware now that we're really quite clever about water, and water is a very important commodity today. So we're ahead of our time here. What do they say about Waiheke? Far enough behind to be ahead.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Exactly, that's right.
Certainly when it comes to water, that's the case.
It is, and it was really interesting a few years ago when Auckland had that water shortage, and how difficult people found that situation and how to cope with it. Whereas, I mean, it's a daily, we live with it daily here. I mean, you don't leave a tap running, you don't brush your teeth with the tap running and that sort of thing.
That's correct.
It's just part of our built-in system.
It is, and a great one at that.
Yeah.
And I tell the tourists when they're visiting that the best time to come to Waiheke is after a rainy day because we smell our best. And, of course, that in the summer when the tank is getting low, one cup of water to put the soap on, one cup to take it off, do that standing in a bucket and give it to your partner when you're finished.
Yes. Well, you know, when I was a kid and we'd come down at Christmas time and we had an old baby bath, a tin baby bath, and at the end of the week that got filled and the cleanest one went first and, you know, the dirtiest one...
As I said, far enough behind to be ahead.
Mind you, back then I think we did most of our washing in the sea, you know, sort of went for swims every day and it wasn't too bad. But it's the special, those sort of special things about the island that I'd hate to see go.
We're spoiled here.
Absolutely.
The tourists tell me every day, we're spoiled for view, we're spoiled by community, we have a great community here.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we don't appreciate what we've got in some ways. I mean, we take it for granted, I think I know I do. It's hard to appreciate it every day. I mean, I try to not to take it for granted, but it's not easy.
Working with tourists who go, wow, and oh, this is beautiful, all the time when I'm taking them around, keeps me refreshed at what I'm looking at and keeps me fresh at appreciating it.
Yes.
New appreciations.
It would. I had a drink with friends at their place overlooking Enclosure Bay the other night, and they had some friends come over from Denmark and stay with them, and they just said their jaw dropped at the view, you know, out over the Gulf, and they don't see anything like that over there because apparently Denmark's quite flat, and I didn't know that.
Oh.
I assumed it was similar to Norway with fjords and things, but it's not. So there you go. We don't see the place the way others do, and that's why, you know, we can't appreciate it the way others do, I suppose. And it's good that you're in a situation where you often hear these stories, and maybe there should be a platform for you to pass that on to us so that we remember.
You're our platform here, Jen.
Well, it's the first time I've been called a platform, but that's okay. But yeah, we do need reminding every now and then.
Well, the Waiheke radio station, I accidentally flicked the switch on my car radio the other day and I was tuned into Waiheke radio.
Wow.
I was shocked to think,
good.
I'm listening to an advert for Escapade here.
Yes.
And phone 372, I know that number, 372. That has to be Waiheke. So we're getting a good commentary from the radio. We're getting good coverage.
That's
good.
Great.
Transmission.
Excellent. Oh, you have it on the bus?
No, I don't. I have it on the car.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe they should put it on the bus.
We can.
All right,
yeah,
there you go.
We can pick it up now.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't pick it up where I live. And you know, that's one of our problems is our two channels aren't strong enough to get as far as we would like. But hey, you know, that'll come.
That'll come too.
Yeah,
I can remember when this radio station was a tiny little place in the first studio nearest the theatre here.
Right.
And now look at it, it's big and the White House here and expanded. And how long, Jan, just to turn the tables on the interview, how long have you been working on the radio station?
Oh, I think this is my, coming up my fourth year. I think it was 2009 I started. Yeah.
2000. Well, you and I first met at Toastmasters probably 8 years ago at least, 9 years ago.
It would be a while back, absolute while back, yeah.
So they got the right person for the job here on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Unfortunately, you know, I can only do it once a month because I'm too busy working full time, but it'd be great to get paid to do this full time. Hint, hint. So you're quite happy driving the buses?
I don't only drive the bus.
Oh, what else do you do? Oh, you do potting.
Yes,
still,
I'm potting,
don't you?
As well, yeah. I'm back into my ceramics.
Have you got a studio?
I have a wheel down here, and the woman I work for, Veronica Zemke, who's got a small studio called Creative Dish, lets me keep my wheel there so that I can make pots for her when required and keep an eye on things and make sure she's doing it well. She was a student of mine 10 years ago.
Oh, right.
And she's doing a little bit of work with a school and some work in the red shed and putting her pieces in the various olive groves and wine vineyards shops and selling to the visitors, and does have a paint your own situation for by appointment for visitors as well, which is good. Which is good. It keeps that little tradition going that we started in Onoroa of painting pots for kids. Kids painting their own pots.
That's right. What a great idea that was. That was brilliant. And do you do pots on commission? I mean,
yes.
Can somebody commission you to do a pot?
Yes.
Right. Okay. And so if there's somebody out there who wants a pot done by Alan Baker, which would be absolutely unique, they should give him a ring on what number?
0211 834 851. Get your pot from me.
Yes, he's the best pot dealer on the island. Well, Alan, it's been great to catch up with you, and I'm glad you're back on the island.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up with you again one day.
Glad to be here, Jan, and thanks for inviting me in. I thoroughly enjoyed that little time.
That's a pleasure. We've been talking to Alan Baker, and we'll no doubt talk to him again before too long. Bye, Alan.
Island Life. Join us for your weekly catch-up with what people are doing and what people are thinking here on Waiheke. Issues, events, personalities and more. It's all here on Island Life, on Waiheke Radio, Saturday mornings 10 to 12. Brought to you by Placemakers Waiheke. Know how, can do.
And it's my pleasure to welcome back Lynn Humphrey. We spoke to Lynn...
Island Life, Waiheke people, events...
We spoke to Lynn just last month, I think, wasn't it, Lynn?
That's right.
Right, and he's back again to give us some updates on the Onitangi beach races. So where do we start?
Well, Jan, the Rotary Club of Waiheke Island is going to have its annual Onitangi beach races on Sunday, the 19th of February, at 10 o'clock through till around 4 o'clock. And we're going to have the usual exciting events, the horse races. We'll have sea legs races, tractor races, and what I call the human races, sprints, novelty races. We'll also have tug of war. And this year, for the first time, we're also looking at a funfair alley. We're kids for a gold coin can play games to win soft toys. We'll also have the usual fashion in the field, and Stephen from Stefano's will be doing the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, which I think starts around 10 a.m. in the morning, so it's a good way of starting for the kids.
It is indeed. And there's an excellent spread in this week's, the weekend, Waiheke Weekender.
That's right. Lots of detail there around around the events and around how you can register.
That's right. Now, we do have an amendment to one of those, don't we?
Yeah, a couple of amendments. Firstly, I guess the fashion in the field will be organised by Dramability, Lucinda Peterkin, not, as was suggested in the thing, Glenda Andrew Neil. So please don't call Glenda. Secondly, I just wanted to clarify the question of parking. We did contemplate, because the land behind the heritage apartments is starting to be built on, as to whether we would have a park and ride from our solar estate. We've decided that there is sufficient parking on Dennis Dominikovich's land, which is the land immediately behind the heritage. We will be charging $10 for that parking per car, but it is free if you decide to purchase a $25 race pack, which includes your parking. It includes vouchers to the value of about $200, the opportunity to win a significant cash prize, and also betting slips for each of the 9 races. So it's quite good value, and I'd suggest that people consider buying the race pack.
It is good value, isn't it?
It is.
Whereabouts is the race pack available from?
The race pack will be available on the day down at the beaches. We will be selling them in the parking lots. We'll be also selling them, obviously, around the field as well. So,
will they be available in advance anywhere?
Yes, they will. Linda Marinkus, who is the primary organiser, will have packs available at the vet clinic in Onuraa. And we will probably have one or two around different retail outlets, but we haven't organised that yet.
Right. And let's remind us of the date.
The 19th of February, 10 a.m.
Right. So that's next weekend.
That's right.
Do you have a rain date?
Yes, the rain date is 7th of April, but we don't want to contemplate that right now.
No, well, it'd be a bit ironic after having so long without rain if it suddenly decided to bucket down next weekend.
Sure.
It wouldn't be fair, would it?
No,
not after last year.
And I think, you know, one of the things I do want to say here is that this is billed as a free day out, and people can easily turn up. They can have a good time with their kids, spend very little money. But I also want to point out that this is a major fundraiser for Rotary and for the island. So there's various ways people can contribute. There will be raffles and silent auctions available. We're keen on people to use the parking, obviously. You can buy tote tickets separate from the race pack. So again, the ability to bet on the races, fun bet. Food and other stalls. There'll be collection tins around. And I think also we have to acknowledge the contributions of a significant number of sponsors. The key ones being Sea Legs, Sea Link, Fuller's and Golf News. They're our platinum sponsors, and they've contributed significantly to the event.
That's brilliant. Yes, and I think we need to remind people too of what the work of Rotary is and how much you contribute to various groups and individuals on the island.
Yes, you know, in a year we would contribute well over $40,000 to various community causes, including community projects, sport for youth, educational opportunities for youth. We also have quite a significant international involvement as well through polio prevention. Also disaster relief boxes. So we're a very, very active organisation. I think I might have said last time I was here that, you know, perhaps apart from the lodge, we're probably the only service organisation or traditional type of service organisation on the island. No JCs, no Lions and so on. So we carry quite a burden.
Yes, indeed you do. That's good to know that all the funds raised will stay on the island.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's possible.
And the other thing is that this does contribute an opportunity for various community groups through through their own stalls and through volunteering to actually receive funds directly. The other thing that I want to say, which is heartwarming, is that a number of young people on the island who have benefited from Rotary's contributions are volunteering and paying back to the community. So that's a nice gesture.
That's great.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. What sort of circumstances do you provide grants for?
They are many and varied. We have three or four major areas. I guess youth is one, and that would be one of our major fund distributions. Rotary itself as an organisation has various leadership courses at different levels, different ages, from about 14 through to about 30. And a number of Waiheke people have been on those courses. This year is the 50th anniversary of Outward Bound, and not many people probably know this, but Outward Bound, along with things like Meals on Wheels, was originally a Rotary project. So this year we're sending two island residents to a commemorative Outward Bound course. In addition, there are a number of young people who have been funded for sport, some of the sports clubs also. But also, you know, we are open to applications for all sorts of things. We're currently assisting the Mora Hall, for example, just as another example.
Right, so how would somebody make an application?
They should contact Rotary through our website. We will send a form. It's important for us to have a good process. One of the things I would say is that it is important for us to get these applications in advance, significantly in advance of perhaps an event or a course, because we're not easily able to handle something where you need an answer in a day or two.
Right.
And sometimes that does happen, and unfortunately we're really unable to consider those sort of applications. So anyone who wants Rotary funding should make application well in advance of their need.
Right, that makes sense, doesn't it? Mm. Now, what is the Rotary website?
If you type in Rotary NZ on Google, or Waiheke Rotary NZ, it will come up.
Right, yep. Okay. And if you're out there and you need some funding for something, then that might be an option for Rotary to consider.
Absolutely.
To see whether you meet their criteria.
Yep.
Yeah, we're talking to Lynn Humphrey, who's the current president of Rotary. Now, Rotary has a system where I think you're only president for a year, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, which is probably a good thing.
Well, it, you know, as I'm
don't
discovering,
want to wear people
it,
out.
it is a challenge in the sense that, you know, it's quite a challenge to think long term when you only have a 1 year term. But we do elect our president a year in advance. So I have a president elect already, who is Greg Ogg. And I also, or traditionally, we have the support of a past president as well. So next year, Greg will be looking for a president-elect. He will be president, and he will have the support of a past president. So that's the way we create some continuity.
Mm.
And certainly for people who are, like myself, working full-time, it's a really significant commitment, and I don't think I'd be prepared to make it for more than a year.
Yeah, exactly. Does the same thing apply to the other officers or committee?
Not necessarily. We do each year consider who should be chair of particular committees, and obviously as part of that we're seeking a board which has a degree of continuity, but also new people as well. So typically about half would stay on and half would move off, so 2 to 3 year cycle really for
right.
those.
And what is the criteria for membership if you want to join Rotary?
It's essentially a we're looking for leaders in the business community and professional area. But as I think I said to you last time, many and varied people. Largely, the idea of Rotary is that we focus on service above self. So people, it is a networking organisation, but our primary focus is networking through service, such as the beach races, where you get to work alongside your fellow Rotarians as a project, an opportunity, particularly for young people to be involved in relatively big projects as well, and in the planning and organisation. So it's a good opportunity for people to grow and develop as well.
It'd be a good training ground.
Absolutely, yep. Yep.
There is quite a commitment, though, isn't there? You've got to commit to go to weekly meetings?
Yes, traditionally, the expectation was you would attend as close to 100% of the meetings as you can. We, with people having families later, women working, the whole demographic is changing, and we're realising that that is not something that we could or should try and enforce. And so we take the view that the major commitment is to the projects that we're involved in. So Wharf to Wharf, beach races, the fishing contest, and last year the casino evening. We want all our members to step up as best they can for those. But we would like them to attend our meetings because they are exciting, a good opportunity to rub shoulders with your fellow Rotarians. And we've had an exceptional range of speakers on wide variety of topics. So for me, it's not a burden to go once a week. It's something that I enjoy. But for those who have other commitments, we're relatively relaxed about that.
What sort of format does the meeting take?
Well, we start at 6:30 on a Monday at the bowling club. We have drinks and some social interaction. We sit down for a meal at 7. About 7:45, we do what we call some club business, which is just some announcements on the various projects, requests for volunteers for this and that. And then after a bit of a humorous fundraising exercise, which we call the sergeant session, where people get fined for misdemeanors, real or otherwise, we have a speaker who speaks usually for 20 minutes to half an hour, questions afterwards, and we finish at 9.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a good program.
It is.
Yes, it's not just a boring old meeting where you're just sitting around a table muttering and mumbling at each other. Did I hear you say earlier about subcommittees?
Yes, yeah.
What sort of subcommittees do you
have? Well, the subcommittees reflect a rotary structure, which is we have a community services one headed by Tony Sears from the high school. They look at community-related projects. We have a youth one, which its name suggests is about the youth projects that I've talked about. We have an international one, which is largely Rotary is involved in the area of polio prevention, done some amazing work there with jointly funded with Bill Gates Foundation. And we also do the shelter boxes through the international one. And there's another, probably one of the more important ones, what we call our fellowship committee, which is about organising social functions and interactions for Rotarians to keep the excitement and enjoyment of being a Rotarian to the fore. So traditionally we'd probably have 6 to 8, I guess, different functions. On March the 4th, I think it is, we're off to Rotorua as a group. We'll have a barbecue over there and probably a wine or two.
Sounds good. Now, if anybody's interested in joining Rotary, how do they go about it?
Again, you can get my details from the by typing in Waiheke Rotary and just contact me through that. But anyone who's got a pen can take down 372-9095. Give me a call and I'll be happy to hear from you.
And that's the telephone number for Lynn Humphreys, the President of Rotary. Now, of course, the main reason you're here today, we started off talking about the beach races, but let's wind up talking about them just to remind people of the date and roughly what the program is.
Okay, well, the date again, next Sunday, that's the 19th of February, starting at 10 a.m. The program of races themselves will start at noon through till about 3. That's obviously tide dependent. We need hard packed sand for the horses and tractors and so on. But both before that and after that, there are plenty of events. A treasure hunt for the kids called the Big Dig, fashion in the field. The Mad Hatter's Tea Party starts at 10 a.m. That's the one with Stefano, or Stephen from Stefano's, and his clowns. Just again, I want to remind people that this is a fundraiser. You can come and have a completely free day out, but please bear in mind the good work that Rotary does. And it is one of our three major fundraisers, so it is important to the work of Rotary on the island.
Mm, absolutely. Now, will the torches that Sheeran was promoting that's got the radio on it and whatever. Yep. Will they be available?
I believe so. Sheeran is passionate about this and is doing a great job. These torches, in case people are unaware of them, are a torch designed for civil defence purposes. It acts as a radio, it acts as a cell phone charger, and having friends in Christchurch during the earthquake, I realise how important that is. It has an alarm, so all in one. I think the Sheeran is charging $30 for it. We're grateful for placemakers who have supplied them to us at cost. And those funds are being raised for disaster relief boxes. And again, I think that's it's a lovely synergy between selling something that makes us safe here on the island and also provides disaster relief boxes for others who might be confronting something a bit more immediate than we are right now.
Yes, indeed. And I think that Sheeran has programmed the radio into Waiheke Radio.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, of course, Waiheke Radio, we work in with Civil Defence for announcements and anything of that sort. So we're the place to listen to for local news on anything of that sort, tsunami or any other major problem that might arise. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Lynn. We've been talking to Lynn Humphrey, President of Rotary, and make sure you go along to the Onitangi Beach Races next Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock. It's a great day out. You can pack your lunch and your bathing suit and get the kids out to the beach and have a good day out, as well as helping Rotary fund a number of things on the island. So thank you to Lynn for coming, and also thank you to Rotary for the work they do for Waiheke.
Thanks, Jan. It's our pleasure.
Right. Well, it's my pleasure now to welcome Anna Brown and say thanks for coming, Anna, and you're going to talk to us about a wonderful initiative of the Waiheke Youth Initiative, which is having a meal with your family. Tell us about that.
Thanks, Jen, for inviting me along. So the February Family Meal Month came about from a segment I saw on Campbell Live in November. And the New Zealand Families Commission had done some research on the benefits of sharing a meal for teenagers or for families. And the results were quite positive, just for a simple thing of sharing a meal. So because it was the start of the school year, the Waiheke Youth Initiative, which I'm part of, thought it would be a good initiative, wouldn't cost us anything to promote, and get families back into school and hopefully reap some benefits from sitting around a table and having some conversation. So I asked Countdown if they would be happy to come up with some prizes. I had enjoyed seeing all the photographs in the Herald of people sending in their photographs over their summer holidays, and so I thought, well, it could get some interest going if people sent in their photos or drawings or stories about their family dinners. And luckily Jamie thought it was a great idea. He had fond memories of the dinners he used to cook, apparently, Jamie at the supermarket. So they've offered some prizes.
That's great. I see they've offered sort of hamper packs.
Yes, food packs. So around again, he thought a pack that people could go home and make their own dinner. So there's three prizes for the best story, the best drawing, and the best photo.
Uh-huh. So how do people enter?
They take their entry either to the Lazy Lounge in Oneroa or to the supermarket, write their name and phone number on the back, and if you look in the supermarket on the way out, there's a big wall there which they're going to put them all up on. And Charlie and Penny Brown, they're going to judge it for us at the end of the month.
Excellent. So it starts now. You can start putting your entries in now.
Yes.
And it closes on the 29th.
27th of February.
Okay.
Yes.
And then when will we know the result?
Well, hopefully the Marketplace and the Golf News will publish them the following week. But also on that wall at the supermarket, obviously, we'll note who the winners were.
Right.
Mm.
Well, that's great. Is there going to be any chance for the public to have a public choice?
We haven't thought of that. That could get really tricky, couldn't it?
If they're going to be up on the wall, everybody will have an opinion, probably.
Well, they could
too. But it might be too dangerous to go down that track.
Yes. Yeah, I think Charlie and Penny will have quite a difficult job choosing the winners. But the criteria is just obviously children under 18. Anyone under 18 can enter. And so it can be about a meal that you've had, breakfast, lunch, dinner with large extended family, or just, you know, your own parent and child, grandparents, aunties, uncles, friends over for dinner. So blended families, there's so many different options these days. And get creative. It could be on the beach, in the park, top of the world. We've got some amazing spots on Waiheke to have a picnic.
I have indeed. Yes, indeed. Beach races, perhaps.
Well, that's right. That would be a good opportunity, actually. Could come from there. So yes. Mainly it would be great if everyone takes their entries in to the Lazy Lounge or the supermarket.
That's great. Now, does the child have to do the cooking, or is that open?
Oh, it's pretty flexible. No, the child doesn't have to do the cooking.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
But that's another interesting option for the photograph.
Yes. Yeah, well, it could be, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this idea came from you watching Campbell Live, did you
say? Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really interested in the results that they had found. And obviously they couldn't specify it particularly from the research. A lot of it's anecdotal. But they interviewed a woman who had tried it on her family, and she said the results were quite amazing. And I know with my own family, it's interesting what conversation you have at the dinner table if, you know, the TV's turned off and no texting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
It works, can work really well.
Mm.
Yes. So, what advice have you got for people entering this competition? You've got any advice for them?
No, I don't actually.
Are you going to enter?
No, I don't think we should enter. And my teenagers probably aren't of that age that they would enter. But the advice probably is just to give it a go. And it might take a while for the teenagers not to complain about the fact that they're not watching TV. But after a while, they just talk amongst themselves, and you pick up things that you might not have been aware of. And one of the things that our large extended family do seem to enjoy when they get together is best thing, worst thing, or highlights or lowlights of your day. So just going around the table and mentioning something good that had happened or something you weren't too happy about. It's interesting what teenagers come up with. So especially with the start of the school year, there might be challenges they're having at school, and hopefully that might just come out in conversation, even just amongst themselves.
Mm. Yes, that's right. And I'm talking to Anna Brown about the Waiheke Family Dinner, which is an initiative of the Waiheke Youth Initiative. And we've just had somebody walk into the studio who might be able to give us some advice on this one. And I'd say welcome to Steve Hill from Only Royal Butchery. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty jolly good. Now, how have you got any bright ideas as to what could be a good economical meal for a family sharing this initiative?
My theory is to get as much out of one item as you can. Simple things like putting a whole chicken in a pot with vegetables, cooking that, you've got a soup. You can have cold chicken for sandwiches or salads. You know, it makes three meals easily. Knowledge of what to put in it is always a good idea, but start with basic stuff and then gradually get more adventurous.
Right. Well, yeah, chicken's pretty popular, isn't it?
It is, and it's a good cheap meal. And
well, especially if you can get two or three meals out of it for a family.
Yeah.
No reason.
That goes for a lot of things. If you buy a lot of, shall we say, cheaper cuts, especially get them with the bone in, because then that will give you a lot of flavour for a stock, for making your soups. A lot of times a real good gravy will enhance flavour on something that may be not quite as meaty and tasty, but I think you've got to get rid of the idea of how much meat that we eat. The biggest item on the plate generally has to be the meat, rather than a small amount of meat and a lot of vegetables. I think that's a thing that we've got to try and change around.
So when you mentioned a cheaper cut of meat, what sort of meat would that be?
Again, things like lamb shoulder. Lamb is quite dear, but you've got lamb shoulders, the lamb shanks. In the beef, a lot of shin meat, that sort of thing. Long, slow cooking. Pork, the ribs. Just something that you can cook. And at least get the two flavours from, meals from. If you've got a stock, you've got a soup base or something to make risotto or that kind of thing, and then you've got the meat, which again you can add in back into your soup to make it more of a stew, or use the meat as the meat part of your meal, and then your vegetables or rice or whatever with it.
Right. Anna, have you got a favourite family recipe for dinner?
Yes, we rely basically on curries and stews, using gravy beef or the cheaper cuts of meat. Cook it for a couple of hours, and the kids, it's an easy meal for the kids to make. There's only about three ingredients in your basic curry, and they like it, and you can just serve it up with rice, which is quick, and you can put it on and leave it, and it's a one pot meal, which is great, less dishes.
Crock pot things are ideal. You just put that on in the morning, and when you come home, dinner's ready, more or less.
That's right.
So it's got to be simple, I think. If it gets overly complicated, it just loses its appeal somehow. You spend more time making pictures on plates rather than eating food that fills you up and nourishes you.
That's right. Yes. We're talking about the family meal initiative that's being promoted by Waiheke Youth Initiative and being sponsored by Countdown. The entries are to be handed in to Countdown or the Lazy Lounge. And we're talking to Anna Brown from the Youth Initiative and to Steve Hill from O'Neill Butchery, who's also the sponsor of the show. Right, so what about a summertime menu for this family meal?
Kebabs are good. The kids seem to like them. They're a bit interesting. And again, you don't need to have a lot of meat.
That's right.
And salad, yeah.
And of course, good old O'Neill Butchery sausages on the barbie.
Yes, sausages. If you want to get adventurous, but you can make sausages without the skin, which if you get the kids involved.
That sounds messy.
Well, it can be, and that's half the fun.
Exactly.
But I think a lot of people these days have lost the art of, not say cooking, but domestic science, maybe, if that's the correct term. They don't seem to have any knowledge from what grandma was doing, that sort of thing. I mean, they could feed a family on next to nothing. I mean, people wouldn't imagine that that would make a meal, or they could feed the family for a week on 3 shillings worth of whatever it was they bought. But I think there's that bit missing.
There is. And I think, you know, we're actually eating more now than we were back then. The portions are bigger.
Yes. I'm guilty of that. People think I probably eat a lot of meat. But I eat a lot more sort of salad and rice and a little bit of meat. We'll do one chicken breast. We'll feed Carol and myself the stir fry type thing, or pasta. So I don't eat as much meat as probably I should. And it's a timing thing with me.
Yeah. Well, I suppose working with it all day too.
Well, that's it. You're looking at it, and what you see at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you think, "Oh, I'll have that for dinner tonight." By time 4 o'clock comes round, you're thinking, it's quite warm. I don't really want to do that now. So you, usually it's just what's left. Yeah. The orphans, a couple of sausages or something that's left in a tray, that's what we take home.
That's a good use of use of food, indeed. Anna, how did you get involved with the youth initiative?
Donna Derrick started it. She sent out an email to anyone that she could think of to pass on, anyone who was interested in teenagers, and just to come up with some ideas for what teenagers could do on the island. They were always complaining that there was nothing to do. This was in September last year. So quite a lot of people came to the first meeting at the Lazy Lounge, and there's a lot of support on the island for teenagers. And what we were actually wanting to do is get teenagers involved themselves in organising what they want, because we don't really know what they want. They know best. And so now that the new year's started with the high school, hopefully we can approach people there who are interested in organising events or coming up with ideas of what they need help with that they think would be fun on the island.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds great. Steve, I think you've got to get back to the shop, don't you?
Yes, so, I will be.
So we thank you very much for coming along and for your input into the family meal ideas. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that some more, I think.
Okie dokie, yeah.
Cheers, thank you.
Right, so Anna, you're trying to get young people involved in things themselves, aren't you?
Yes, definitely. And so when we started, of course, it was into NCA exams and the end of the year and school holidays. So we thought we'd wait till the new year to speak to the head boy and head girl that have just been appointed at Waiheke High School and other groups there and see who would be interested in putting something together. So we're thinking of things like even a Facebook page, because that's how they communicate, and that would have a lot of stuff that is going on in the island, like at the rec centre. And also we're going to planning on having more dances that we had in January, perhaps with different formats. So it's up to them really to come up with what they would like.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's important that what is done that the kids want to get involved in. And if they take the initiative and there's adult help in the background, that would work well, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's ideally what we would like, because that's then they actually will enjoy it, and it's up to them to come up with what they want to do.
Mm. How do you get involved with the youth initiative? Is there a contact phone number that people can get in touch with?
No, well, we really need a Facebook page.
Ah, right.
So there is a Facebook page, and it's in the articles that are in the marketplace at the bottom. So they could call me, but we really need to hopefully come up with some kind of chat group. I'm not great on Facebook myself, so something like that so that people who want to get involved can do. But we're really relying on the goodwill of the marketplace and the Gulf News to support us.
Well, I'm sure there's some creative young people out there who could do a Facebook page, you know, standing on their head.
Yes, websites, all that kind of thing. Yes. Yeah, that'd be great.
It would. So if there's anybody out there who'd love to put a Facebook page together for the Waiheke Youth Initiative, could they contact you?
Yes, certainly, yeah. My number is 372-7753.
And that's for Anna Brown?
Otherwise, they can contact the CAB or Friends of the Street here, so they know how to get hold of us.
Right. Yes, it's okay. We've just got some noisy fellows in the background there. Not a problem. right. So the initiative for family meals starts now, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Whole month of February.
Right through to February, end of 27th. And if you want to enter this wonderful initiative, then you need to present a photograph, a drawing, or a story of a shared family meal experience, and drop that off either at the Lazy Lounge or at Countdown. And Countdown are sponsoring this, and they're going to provide 3 meal hamper prizes for the best photo, the best drawing, and the best story. So get into that and put your entries in, and you never know, you might be lucky.
Yes, so we're very lucky that Charlie and Penny Brown, Charlie's known as Optimus Grime on the island, going to draw the winners for us, so it's very kind of them to support us. There's lots of supportive people out there.
That's excellent. Great. Well, thank you, Anna, for coming in, and congratulations to the Waiheke Youth Initiative for this initiative. It's a great one, and good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.